Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic close in on the signing of Benjamin Seagrist. Rangers have been linked with another striker, and Liverpool agree a fee with Aberdeen for Calvin Ramsey. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Mark Wilson.
Delighted to be here again, Andrew, talking about all the big points that are going on midway through June, and it seems like things are starting to move along now. I think the players have, and the clubs have, had their rest, and behind the scenes now the wheels are starting to get in motion with things. Where we've seen transfer news involving Aberdeen, we've seen managerial appointments, and Dundee United could be close to another managerial appointment, and transfer rumours. So lots to talk about tonight.
Yeah, well, the internationals are over. The fixtures for next season come out tomorrow. The transfer news is ramping up, so we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. It seems like last season just finished and we're already finding out tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow 9 o'clock the fixtures come out, and that'll then start to feel like the next season's upon us already.
Well, that's when preparations do become real, because managers, clubs will start to put things in play for certain fixtures. And the fans, of course, it's all about the fans. It's such a big time of the season where that fixture list comes out and the fans get their first glimpse of it, and they can start planning their away days, and they can start planning when, for instance, Celtic play Rangers in the new year fixture. It is so important. And of course, here in the west of Scotland, then all eyes are drawn to that fixture. You know, when is it? How far into the season is it? When is it after or run about the new year period? And when is that all important third, and how it shapes up? So lots to look forward to. And that was always a time that I loved in the season, Andrew, just a player as well. Just seeing those big games, those big away days, you know, away to Tynecastle, away to Pittodrie. How does that fit into your season? Who are you starting? Because that's always important. You think back to last season, Celtic away at Tynecastle, and it was such a hard game. And then, you know, if you get a home fixture, a favourable fixture, and if your rival's away from home, it's a good opportunity to get your season off and running. So looking forward to seeing that tomorrow afternoon.
The season just seems to start earlier and earlier every year. I was looking on Twitter over the last couple of days. I think Livingston are already back in pre-season training. Aberdeen are as well. So, I mean, what are we? It's the 16th of June at the moment. But I suppose with the Premier Sports Cup group stage, that the football comes around really quickly.
I would be disgusted if I was a player, Andrew, and the 16th of June I was back in pre-season. I mean, for me, it was always the norm that we were back the last week in June or the first week in July. The first week in July was probably the norm. And you always knew as a player, when you got to May, and if you were lucky enough to get to the Scottish Cup final, it was always the last week in May, that you had at least 4 weeks to rest and recover. But like, the window is getting shorter and shorter for recovery, especially if you play at the top end of the game in international football. But even if you don't, because of the Premier Sports Cup games, then even the part-time teams are back in training. I mean, some part-time teams were back in last week as well. So it just seems to be one big cycle now. Now, of course, for the fans, it's brilliant. For us, it's brilliant because we can't wait until everyone gets back and we can get a proper look at the squads. But for the players, it must be incredibly difficult, because mentally, nowadays, you're only getting a lot of time to kind of take your mind off things. But that comes with a job, that comes with a territory. That's why they get paid much more money than I did, Andrew, back in my day.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Whether it's transfer news or anything else that's on your mind, give us a call, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. A few bits of transfer news caught my eye today. The first of which, Celtic closing in on the free signing of former Dundee United goalkeeper Benjamin Seagrist. They left Tannadice at the end of last season. Ange Postecoglou has been looking for another goalkeeper to add competition. It looks as if he'll become their second signing after making Cameron Carter-Vickers' loan deal permanent. This was one that was, there was a few rumours about it last week. It now looks as if this one is imminent. A free signing, do you think that's a smart piece of business for Celtic?
No brainer for me. When you had the disaster that was Barkas, and I think everybody wished Barkas all the best when he went, of course it didn't work out at all for him at Celtic. But such an important position to get right, and Ange Postecoglou got it right with Joe Hart. He quickly realised he needed somebody in there, and they got him in. He knew that Bain wasn't going to be the number one, and you could clearly see that in the opening games of the season. And I don't think Bain does much wrong, but I think when you're Celtic number one, you have to have a presence. You've got to make big stops at big times, and Bain did that sometimes, but not all the time. Hart certainly did. But you can't rely on Joe Hart again playing the full season. You just can't put all your eggs in one basket and think this is the guy he sees through, and then you leave yourself short. If it's Bain on the bench, then who backs him up? So it was a no-brainer for me. Sigurdsson is someone that I think has been linked to both Celtic and Rangers over the last couple of years because of his form. I think he's been an outstanding goalkeeper. When you look at the list of goalkeepers in the league, Craig Gordon, Joe Hart, McGregor, maybe the only ones better than him. And that's reflected in Dundee United's league position, where they finished last year. If you look at the goals against, I think the same as Hart's. So he's been an outstanding goalkeeper for a few years now, and I think it's only a natural progression for him to move up the ladder a bit. And I think he'd be the perfect understudy for Joe Hart at this time.
Is it maybe a surprise then that, having played a lot of football at Dundee United, been there number one, he's now left on a free transfer, that he's not going somewhere that he's maybe guaranteed first team football? There's talk that, you know, there's English clubs that are after him. Potentially he would go down there and walk into a starting lineup somewhere. The fact that he's going in at Celtic, does that mean that he's maybe happy to go in and play understudy? Maybe he thinks he can go in and challenge Joe Hart.
I think he will. I think he'll have every confidence in his ability, how he's playing. I mean, the draw is, Celtic is a huge draw. When that gets dangled in front of you, I mean, opportunities like that don't come along often, especially when you're 30. So I think he would truly believe that he can challenge Joe Hart and push him all the way. And plus, he must look at Joe Hart as well and think, maybe this guy can't go on forever. Maybe,
yeah, I mean,
isn't he?
30's young for a goalkeeper these days. You look at the age of Alan McGregor and Craig Gordon. If Benjamin Sigurdsson thinks that he can play until that age, though, then he'll think, you know what, I've got a chance of staking my claim here. And potentially, you know, if Joe Hart moves on or gets a wee bit older, then I could be the one to fill in there.
I think he'd be thinking exactly that, Andrew. I think even he may sacrifice this first year and think, let's look at the bigger picture here. Let's settle in for a year, you know, see how the club is, fit into it perfectly well, and then wonder what Joe Hart's going to do after that. So on paper, it looks like a great fit for all.
0141 951 1025. We want to hear from you, so give us a call, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. I think coming into this summer, not a lot of people would have been looking at Celtic's goalkeeping area as one that they urgently needed to address. But is that the beauty of bringing in someone on a free transfer, that if you're having to spend money on different areas of the pitch, whether it's, you know, £6 million plus on Cameron Carter-Vickers, a similar fee on Jota that Celtic fans are hoping to get over the line, if you're able to go in, fill that area and not have to spend a transfer fee on it, that'll be big for Celtic.
Of course it is. I mean, the opportunity has to present itself first and foremost. I still think Ange Postecoglou would have pursued a goalkeeper. If you let one go like Barkas, I think there is a gap there for maybe a stronger backup to Bain. I keep saying it, I like Bain. I don't think he's done much wrong, but I just think when you hold that position at Celtic, you've got to be top notch. Now, Hart has been that. Will he be that next year? Well, there's no reason to doubt it, but he's getting on in life. So when a free transfer like that presents itself, and he's here in this country and he knows the game and he's played against all these players up here, then there's no real surprises with it. So you've got to be quick. You've got to act quickly, because you mention it, there's clubs down south sniffing about, and they'll quickly offer something decent to him. So the sooner Celtic can get that tied up, the better.
It's about having that strength and depth as well, because when there's so many competitions on the go, Celtic going straight into the Champions League group stages, you've got the League Cup, you've got the Scottish Cup, you've got the Premiership, Celtic trying to retain that title as well. they're going to have to mix and match. And if you can do it with your goalkeepers as well, that does become a big help.
What's Rangers last year, didn't we? With the cup goalkeepers, and you know, I was all the way through. You know, Van Bronckhorst honoured it all the way through, and you just wonder if Seagrass comes and he proves he's good enough in training, then he might get an opportunity. I'm a great believer, you always need a number one, and your number one has to play in the big games. But you said it there, Andrew, there's so many games within a season now, there are opportunities to play a strong number two and not lose really anything from it. So I think if he has that talk with the manager, I think that would sell him, thinking he's going to come in this first year, get some football, and then maybe progress the following year.
If Celtic can get that Benjamin Seagrass signing over the line, it's actually show how far Celtic have come under Ange Postecoglou. Because you look at the end of the season before he came in, Celtic didn't have a goalkeeper on their books really that any of the supporters trusted yet, to put it that way. Yeah. So, but at that point, it was a key area that needed addressed. If Celtic can then go into this season, 1 year after Ange Postecoglou's come in, you've got Joe Hart, you've got Benjamin Seagrass, who has been rated as one of the top goalkeepers in the league as well, and then Scott Bain as another option in there.
I keep saying it, it's one of your most important positions to fill, both ends of the pitch. A striker who can score you goals, a goalkeeper who can save the ball and keep it out the net and command your back four. Ange Postecoglou, or any good manager, top manager, will recognise that right away, and he fixed the problem. But I'll go back to it, you cannot rely on one guy to play every single game. Who knows what could happen? Joe Hart could get injured in the first game of the season. And when you've got the league, the Champions League coming up, followed by the Premier Sports Cup, and then there's an awful lot of ground there to cover. So he needs to know that he's got a backup that he can rely on.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Whatever's on your mind, whether it's transfers, whether it's still international football that's on your mind, we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. And it is now the 16th of June. We've seen Celtic make one transfer so far in Cameron Carter-Vickers. The Jota deal is the next one that Celtic fans will have their eye on, and have had their eye on.
Deals with travel agents, because he's
been everywhere, hasn't he?
He's been everywhere. I mean, what a holiday he's having. He played an awful lot of games, and he was entertaining, so he deserves his break. But every time I put on Twitter, he's in some other part of the world. I think Celtic fans are getting a wee bit anxious, a wee bit nervous that Carter-Vickers is done. And I think a lot, including me, thought that might have been the complicated one to get done. I thought the Jota one would have been easier to get done. But something is dragging on. And I still believe Celtic will get it done, but I think the fans will want it done for day one of pre-season. I think that there is merit in that, getting everybody who was successful last season, who you can get back in that building in day one. I think there's merit in doing that. So if Jota can be completed in the next week, Celtic fans will be delighted.
Yeah, because we don't know the full details of what's going on behind the scenes. It could be a case of Jota flies back in from his holiday, signs the contract, and then there's the picture with the scarf over the head, and he's unveiled as Celtic's next signing. But the longer time goes on, that's when maybe doubts start to creep into the minds of supporters, and they're wondering, right, okay, are we going to need to possibly plan for him not coming back next season?
Because I think Celtic fans will think they've seen it that often, particularly when the managers were trying to put together a squad and they hadn't qualified for the Champions League, so they didn't know what their budget was or was going to be. And Celtic fans seen players just leave and transfer targets quickly vanish. With Jota, he made that much an impression, and they know Celtic have got the money, they know the Champions League there. I think a lot of them are thinking, well, what is this stumbling block? But Andrew, you're right. Jota could just be away enjoying his holiday and said, you know what, I'll just sign up when I get back. And Ange Postecoglou might be saying, brilliant, okay, that's great, sign up when you get back. Everyone else, you know, without any confirmation, starts making up things or suspecting other things. But if it's done within the next week or two, then, you know, Celtic fans will be over the moon.
I don't think being a football manager is relaxing in any way, shape or form. I think you can attest to that. But with Ange Postecoglou last season, it would have been coming into a football club that was in turmoil, needed to sign so many players. The fact that the fixtures come out tomorrow, how much more relaxed do you think he will be now than he was last summer? Because there's less business to do. He said that they won't be signing as many players as they did last summer. Will that make it a lot easier, the fact he knows exactly where they're going into in terms of Europe as well? Or will this still feel like a huge, huge summer with so much pressure, as it seems to be for most managers most of the time?
Aye, on the face of it, you would think it must be easier for him. But maybe last year, when, you know what it's like when things just happen instinctively for you. You come in, you're in the country, it's 100 miles an hour, and you take over, and one thing follows the other. He's had a good few weeks now to think about what's upcoming, and sometimes that can be more difficult. You know, sometimes you start overthinking things. I don't think he will. I don't think he seems that type of character at all. But there's an awful lot of games coming up. There's a lot of big games coming up. The fixture list will be across tomorrow, you know, first thing in the morning, and he'll be meticulously planning what that pre-season looks like in comparison to what those fixtures and upcoming games are.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Kevin is a Celtic fan in Bells Hill. Kevin, first of all, if Celtic are going to sign Benjamin Seagreist, is that a move you'd like to see?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've not get against Spain. Yeah, but that'd be a great sign.
Yeah, I think it's as simple as that, really, Mark, isn't it? If you've got a guy who's on a free transfer, he's proven in the league, if he's happy enough to come in and provide that competition, then Celtic will be delighted if they can get him in.
Of course. The free transfer thing is a big thing. I mean, even think if there was some money to exchange hands between Celtic and United if he was under contract, I still think it would be a good move. But it's the one position that you need people to push the other. And Joe Hart, ultimate professional, was fine last year. You probably don't need that. But if something happens, you need Bain and another to be fine out to get the best out of them.
Kevin, generally from a Celtic point of view, how are you feeling going into the early stages of this transfer window?
Really positive. Carter Vickers done. Obviously Jota, the young fella's enjoying himself. There's so many holidays. I think, and it's my personal opinion, I think the deal's already done. He's let him, the young boy, enjoy himself, come back pre-season, and then that's us.
I mean, it could well be the case, Mark, that it's all signed and sorted, but I think Cameron Carter-Vickers was maybe in the US at the time on international duty when the deal was announced to sign him. So it is possible for the deals to be announced while players are away, but the thing is, we just don't know what it is at the moment.
They can't track Jota down to send him a copy of the contract, I don't think, to sign it. But, I mean, he seems to be in more photos with Celtic fans with Celtic strips on than he does his family members. So, I mean, all joking aside, that would be a good thing. I know the Celtic fans will go up and ask him for that, but he seems happy, he seems relaxed. And there's no negative noises out of Celtic Park. How many times in the past have we heard that you hear rumours, you know, that things might not all be well and this and that might be happening? I've not heard any of that out of Celtic Park, so you'd assume that's a good thing.
Kevin, are there any other areas in the Celtic team in particular that you're hoping they'll strengthen soon?
Well, they're talking about an Argentinian boy. I can't pronounce his name. But Greg Taylor.
Go on, Andrew. I think it's
Bernabe is how it's pronounced. It's not too bad, but
Bernabe,
uh-huh. I believe.
Is that a nickname? Is that his full name?
No, it's surname. It's surname.
All right, okay.
Like Bernabeu, like Real Madrid Stadium, but with an I at Bernabeu. The end instead of a U.
That's,
I think,
not
it
that hard, Kevin.
Sorry, after a few sherbets.
but yeah, that's, I mean, this is what the transfer season is all about. You see the speculation here and there, you get linked with players, all of a sudden you're doing a crash course in whatever player it is that you'd never heard of 24 hours ago, and all of a sudden you're right on board, you've seen the YouTube highlights and you're wanting them to sign. But that's it. Celtic fans, Kevin seems pretty relaxed. He said, you know, I'm asking him if there's any areas in particular. That'll just show the confidence that he has in the business that Ange Postecoglou did in the last two windows.
Because the strong is particularly strong at the minute. I mean, comparison to a year ago, it is just night and day. There's only a few positions to fill. Now, goalkeeper, backup, one of them, looks like that's well on its way to getting done. Holding midfielder, probably left back, like Kevin was saying there, maybe for cover for Greg Taylor or for competition. But the rest, I mean, Celtic have got great depth. Now, I think a couple will go out the door as well, and that'll give opportunity for the others to come in. Maybe not starters at the beginning of the season, but it certainly gives scope for them to grow into first team players. And that's a good position to be in for Ange Postecoglou.
Well, thank you to Kevin. Rangers have been linked with another striker. If you've got any thoughts on it, give us a call. 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025 if you've got anything on your mind, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. We'll just be taking a look at Rangers being linked with young Norwegian striker Erik Botheim in a second, so if you've got any thoughts on that, 01419511025. But there was something I wanted to bring up first, Mark, because seeing you're getting your boots back on.
Oh, hi. Yes.
But just looking at the Masters is back. I always used to love watching that on the TV. Oh. And you're taking part in this. I was having a look at the Celtic and Rangers squads for the Masters.
Let me tell you what I've done there,
there's a
Andrew.
A couple of questionable names in here, by the way.
So I put out a tweet yesterday, just saying another winner's medal incoming. However, I think I've jumped the gun a wee bit because I didn't quite see the Liverpool team. And the Man United team that followed. So
I thought you were about to say you hadn't quite seen your teammates now yet, and now you've seen them.
By the way, there was an element of that as well.
That'll make them feel good right before the tournament. Very good. I'm
a team player. We'll be having a laugh in the huddle. Oh, yeah, ex-Celts, but no, it's good. I'm looking forward to it.
So Rab Douglas in goal for Celtic, yourself and Kelvin Wilson at the back.
Oh, solid, the Wilson brothers.
Stillian Petrov, Chris Commons, Joe Ledley.
Good midfield.
Front two, Simon Donnelly and Carlton Cole. I mean, I know he played for Celtic, but is this not meant to be guys that, you know, are sort of fondly remembered by? Oh. I suppose you're playing as well, so it's...
Oh, don't give us it. This is the biggest moment of my career since 2012. Well, there's a bit of a mix and match in there, I think. And as much of my knowledge, should have been one or two others playing in there. However...
They realised they'd be lining up with you and thought better of it.
They had a look at the team and thought, nah, no thanks. But listen, our midfield's strong. Our midfield's as good as any. You know, depending, hopefully Chris Commons is looking after himself. But, I mean, Joe Ledley, Stan Petrov, I was with Stan a few weeks ago, and he's still fit as a fiddle. So, looking forward to it.
We're coming up against a Rangers side that has Carlos Cuellar and Alan Hutt in the defence, Barry Ferguson, Lee McCulloch and Pedro Mendes across the middle, Chris Boyd and Michael Moyes up top. However, they've got Roy Carroll in goal, so they've got a sort of rogue selection for themselves as well. I think one Rangers appeared.
We will batter them. There is not much legs in that team, I tell you that. We will batter them, no doubt about it. I mean, some good individuals, Barry Ferguson, Chris Boyd, goal scorer, but... they don't like running about. We've got the fitness on them, so can't wait for it. I bet your atmosphere's terrific. And I tell you what, see the players on the day, Celtic v Rangers, not played in them for years, but the rivalry will still be there.
I think it'll get a bit feisty.
Aye, 100% I will.
There we go. Look forward to it. 01419511025. Let's get on to the real stuff though, shall we? Rangers have been linked today with young Norwegian striker Erik Botheim. So he scored 23 goals in 46 games for Bodo Glimt across the 2021 sort of calendar year. That was the Norwegian season. That earned him a move to Krasnodar in Russia in January. He hasn't played for them though due to their invasion of Ukraine. The season had shut down. His contract has since been terminated though because of what has happened in Russia, so he would be a free transfer. The talk is that there are quite a few clubs interested in him as a young striker who's scored goals previously, but with Rangers sort of looking at a striker, it seems as if that is an area that they really are targeting, because we've heard the name Ross Stewart crop up a few times as well.
I think you have to, really, when you look at it, and E10 and so on and so forth, didn't it work out? You're relying heavily Morelos again. Now, if you've got a striker there again that could be free, who scores one and two, I mean, that's good going.
And we've seen Bodo Glimt at a good side,
Bodo Glimt, if you had said that to us a year ago, Bodo Glimt, it would have meant nothing to us. We would have said, who? But when you saw the players that played against Celtic that night, on those two occasions, how impressive were they? Now, if this boy fitted into that team and scored 23 goals, then he must be a decent player. And if you get a move to that league as well, Russian league, then you know you're a good player. So if that's something Rangers can get over the line and get it done for pretty cheap, then I think they should take that as soon as they can.
Yeah, and he scored twice as well. I remember Bodo Glimt beat Roma 6-1 in the group stages.
He scored twice in that game.
Yeah,
so that tells you the level that he's been playing at. You know, and it wasn't a million years ago. You know, it wasn't like, oh, he did this 3 and 4 years ago and you're looking for him to replicate it. That's a player who will be hungry to play at the top level again. Once you've experienced that and you get your big move out with your control when it's taken away from you, you are desperate to get back in. So you're bringing in a player who's hungry to succeed.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. John is a Rangers fan up next in Paisley. John, how are you feeling about Rangers with the sort of transfer news ramping up?
Well, listen, it's very early days so far, but before I get to that point, Mark Wilson.
Yes, John.
£50 cash for kids that you don't batter Rangers.
All right, okay.
Oh, here we go. We've got a master's wager here.
That's an idea.
You're the one with your mouth out there saying you're going to batter Rangers. So £50 cash for kids you don't.
Right, okay. I'll put up £50 as well then, right?
No, you pay the £50. What? I don't need to worry because you don't batter Rangers.
Right, well, we'll see. We'll see in July the 8th. John, get yourself there.
There we go. Please responsibly, everyone. But of course, it's for a good cause. It's for a good cause.
But John's doing well to donate to charity there. Well done, John.
Right, that's a fair bet. Right, but you won't have our Rangers. But goalkeeper wise, you never class John McLaughlin up there in the goalkeepers. Why no?
Because he's not played that often.
Are you meaning
John, when I was saying about Segrist and Craig Gordon and Hart and McGregor?
I wouldn't class
Segrist
as good as... I think John McLaughlin is probably the third best goalkeeper in Scotland.
The third best goalkeeper in Scotland?
Aye.
Who are the heads? McGregor and...
Well, I don't like to say his name, but I'm going to say Joe Hart,
innit? So what about Craig Gordon? Is he getting put out of your top four?
I'll give him an
honour. There we go. He's slowly getting relegated down John McLaughlin, but I think John's point is that you just didn't give John McLaughlin credit earlier.
John McLaughlin's a good goalkeeper, but the fact is he was number two for the majority of the season. We've seen very little of him. When you've got a goalkeeper like Segrist, who's established for a couple of years and was impressive this year. I said about the goals against. I think I'm right in saying it, both conceded 44, them and Hearts. Craig Gordon made some outstanding saves. And again, you can see goals in different ways and the defence could play better, but a goalkeeper's a big part of that. And for me, he has been right up there with the top ones. I'm not saying John McLaughlin's a bad goalkeeper, John. So, just not as good as Segrist.
McLaughlin, if it hadn't been McGregor just been outstanding as usual, that every time McLaughlin came in, he was so comfy that it was nice, actually. It was quite a blessing to see him coming in to give McGregor a break. And McGregor doesn't sign, well, maybe we'll still see Greg, we see the Celtics. You never know, maybe we'll get him.
Is that something you'd like to see, John? I mean, if Alan McGregor doesn't sign up for next season, is Segrist one that you'd rather you saw him at Ibrox?
Well, it's a toss-up, because I don't know where the boy McCrory went. You've got to name him. But if it came, you wanted an experienced one, then it would be one you would think and take. But can Rangers and Celtic compete for the championship with financially? Come on, you're 30-year-old, is what you said. Can they financially compete
with the championship? Listen, the high end of the championship, probably not. The teams that are coming down getting that parachute
Celtic
payment.
Do have Champions League money this season?
They do, but they've obviously got a wage structure. The wage structure down there, I mean, teams like Fulham in that last year probably matched and surpassed that. John makes a good point, though, about Segrist and Rangers, you know, in a roundabout way. I wonder if Rangers were ever interested. I wonder if they ever looked at him. Alan McGregor, it's up in the air whether he's signing or not. And even if he does sign, how many games will he play? Will he be as good? McLaughlin, good goalkeeper. McCrory, yet shows potential. But we're just chatting about the Celtic situation there with Segrist, that you kind of know what you're getting with this goalkeeper. And even if he is number two, he could push whoever's number one all the way and it'd be an actual challenge show. It's quite interesting if Rangers just looked at it and thought, no, not for us.
Is that something that Rangers need to find out an answer on sooner rather than later? Yeah. Because you don't really want to be waiting about a few weeks down the line when you're in pre-season training to see whether your number one goalkeeper from the past few years is going to continue playing or not.
We'll only have to look back to Fraser Forster's situation. Craig Gordon had went, Celtic put all their eggs in the one basket, thinking Fraser Forster was signing. And before you knew it, two goalkeepers were away and you were left scrambling. And look at how much that set Celtic back. Rangers have been so strong in that position for years. McGregor, unbelievable for years. And they find themselves in quite a tricky situation. So I think Van Bronckhorst will be across the situation. I don't think he'll be sitting there actually not knowing what's happening. It's the public, I suppose. The fans don't actually know what's happening. You just wonder when they're going to release that information.
Well, thank you to John, 01419511025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. That's what Christopher Martin has done. He says Eric Botheim on a free transfer is a no-brainer. A £7 million player who's only a free because of world events looks like he could be the replacement for Buff. And that's the big thing, because Rangers still don't know what the situation with Alfredo Morelos is going to be, because you get into this summer where he's got a year left in his contract. Rangers are in that place where they either need to get him to agree a new contract, they need to sell him now, or do they think, you know what, we'll just let him run his deal down and have him for another season, and is that worth it?
I'd be very surprised if they did that. I mean, maybe a couple of seasons ago you would have maybe thought that. It was at that time Rangers' most sellable asset, yes, and there was that bid, but he was going backwards in my opinion until Van Bronckhorst came in and gave him a new lease of life in European football. Very impressive. So I think Rangers will get that one tied up. I think Morelos looks like he's enjoying himself at Rangers at the minute, and unfortunate for him that he didn't get to experience the final of the Europa League. But I think he's happy where he is. I think he's happy with the manager. I think the manager has spoke to him, said the right things to him, and I think they will get that over the line. I can see Morelos being at Rangers for a long time.
I mean, it's definitely an area that no matter what happens with Morelos, that Rangers are looking to strengthen and look as if they need to anyway, because you look at the end of last season, Alfredo Morelos is out. Kamar Roof has had a poor injury record. He was out again. Joe Aribo was having to play through the middle in the big European games. So it's no surprise that Rangers are now being linked with, whether it's Ross Stewart last week or Eric Botheim this week, because Giovanni Van Bronckhorst will be keen to make sure that next season he's not left in a situation where he's going into big games where he doesn't have that natural number nine.
Of course. I think at any big club you need three strikers to really sustain a challenge on all fronts, and the amount of competition Rangers are going to play in. I think Morelos is still going to be the number one striker. I think Roof will still play the backup and maybe play off a side sometimes. But if they can get someone in like Botheim to really push Morelos, and if Morelos is out, injured or suspended or whatever, that you've got a guy you can rely on to score goals. I think Defoe was a good foil for him because he came in and scored goals. I think the others that have been in that position haven't quite lived up to that. So if you've got three strong strikers, then you've got a chance of winning things.
You also don't want to get yourself into a position like Rangers have, where Morelos is entering the final year of his contract, Ryan Kent and Joe Aribo are as well, and their three futures are really up in the air, because as I said with Morelos, you either have to get them to extend their contract or sell them on or keep them and see what happens throughout the season.
And that's where you know, a lot of the fans think this period is used for looking at players and bringing them in. A lot of the hard work behind the scenes and upstairs at football clubs is getting these things tied up, things that are players that can earn you so much money or worth so much money to the club, even if they stay, not selling them, staying, they're worth so much money. So those three, you know, are your, you know, three aces really. You need to get them tied up. You cannot afford to do what Celtic done with the Christie and the Ayer and the Edward thing, because you end up losing out in the long run.
We'll take a look at Calvin Ramsey's imminent move to Liverpool, but anything else that's on your mind, 01419511025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025 if you want to get in touch, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. And I tell you what, I think a lot of people are just more interested in your Masters football involvement than anything else, Mark, because Chris Miller's been in touch. He says, Mark Wilson saying the Rangers Masters team have no legs. Pedro Mendes and Barry Ferguson are probably fitter now than Wilson was in his prime.
They're looking actually well. They're looking slim. But it's different on a football pitch.
I also like it. Chris has signed off his tweet like a wee email signature saying, from wee Chris and Airdrie.
From wee Chris and Airdrie. Is he an Airdrie fan? One of them ones that I gave me stick for that painful year I was in charge.
Good to see that you've brushed that off and you're not still thinking about it.
It was only, 8 years ago, but I still remember it. I feel like it was yesterday.
01419511025 on the phones. Craig is a Rangers fan up next in West Lothian. Craig, what's on your mind tonight?
All right, guys. I've got a couple of points. It's just about Scotland. The first one that I'm a little confused about and don't get is Steve Clarke has used these resources really well. There's Dykes and Che Adams that can come in and improve the squad through obviously the rule of either being in the country for a certain period of time or having a relative. I just don't understand why they haven't took the same approach to James Tavernier. He's never ever going to get a cap for England. I don't think he's ever had one, so I think he'd be eligible. He's been here for over 5 years. And
Chris, Craig, sorry, I'll stop you there and just say that there are sort of two separate rules that you're talking about there, and you've outlined them slightly, but Lyndon Dykes and Shea Adams both qualify through the family link. They both got family that were born in Scotland. It goes up to the grandparents. So if you've had a grandparent that was born or a Scottish resident, then you can represent Scotland. The way that you're talking about James Tavernier being eligible is to do with residency rules, and that there's talk that I think across the world you can play for a country if you've been a resident there for 5 years or over, but the sort of home nations have this agreement that the residency rule only applies if you are schooled in that country and have been there for 5 years under the age of 18. So I remember there being a bit of talk a few years ago about James Tavernier potentially being eligible, but he isn't actually eligible just based on the rules that are in play at the moment.
Oh, right. I honestly didn't know that. I just thought it would have been a good idea to kind of have someone like him on the right with kind of Ralston or Patterson as the right centre, kind of the same as what we've got with Robertson and Tierney. Because I think one of the problems Scotland have right now is a lot of teams know that that's our dominant side, and they know if they nullify that side, it kind of stops us playing. So it would have just been good to have something on the other side. I suppose we could always try the same approach with Ralston and Patterson in the same team at the same time.
Do you think that works, Mark? I mean, we've seen how big a miss it is when Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson aren't linking up with each other down the left. Steve Clarke hasn't really tried to replicate that at all when Kieran Tierney's been missing with someone that, you know, is maybe naturally a fullback but can play it on the left or the right of a back three. Do you think there are the options in the squad for Scotland to try that with other players like the right-hand side, like Craig's saying?
I think so. I think the options there certainly to play Ralston probably right centre half and Patterson right wing back. I think that's the way it would go. I don't think you would do it the other way with Patterson right centre back. I think we've got a good option there at right centre back with a fit John Souter though, who can do that job brilliantly. That's John's one of his biggest strengths, is getting the ball at his feet through the goalkeeper and literally just breezing by people. Fortunate enough to play alongside him when he was a young lad, 17. And he would do that then at Dundee United. So I think when you get him at his peak, playing, if Steve Clarke's going to stick with that system, him playing right centre half and Ralston or Patterson outside him would work similar-ish. I don't know if you'll ever get the actual pace and intensity that Tierney and Robertson have in that side, but you might get pretty close.
Craig?
Yeah, I just think it would be a good shout to try, because as I said, right now it's kind of like we've noticed over the last couple of games when we don't have that link between Tierney and Robertson, our play is completely different. I think a lot of the times we end up trying to go a wee bit too direct. So I just think if we could manage to replicate something similar on the right-hand side, which Mark's probably right, if Souter's fully fit, you could probably have him there and then Ralston and Patterson battling for the right-hand side. But I just think it's important to have that balance on both sides of the pitch, because it makes it so much easier for a team when they know they just need to shut down one side of the pitch and it's going to completely nullify the way a team plays. Yep. So it'd be good if we could replicate it on both sides.
Craig, spot on. I think that was so evident in the Ukraine game, that Andy Robertson was so isolated that he didn't have Tierney, but the Ukrainians quickly identified that that's Scotland's out ball. And every time it went to Hickey, you know, it stopped in its tracks. And I think that's been the case for a long time now. I think you need that balance. And look, we've got the players there. It's about getting those young players fit and enough game time. Nathan Patterson's a big one. You know, he broke onto his scene, fantastic potential, got his big move, but he needs to play regular football to get up to the standard that we need in that right hand side for him to be a Scotland right wing back for the next 5-6 however many years that we can rely on the same way Tierney and Robertson.
It was quite evident from the Armenia game that one of the things that Steve Clarke will probably look at most in this period of time that he's got off is that back three. He had to do a lot of chopping and changing throughout the international break. There's obviously injuries, a lot of games in a short period of time, but when you saw the defending against Armenia, how easy it was for them to get in behind, the back three at times looked all over the place. That's something that's going to need to be addressed going forward.
I think out the full team, that's been the worry. If you take Tierney out of that, then Tierney out of that back three, who are the certain starters that you could go in there and hang your hat on? Now, I think Hanley over the piece has been impressive. I think he's got enough pace about him, and he's commanding. But the right centre half, even when you look back to the Euros, you know, when McTominay was in there, he's lovely on the ball, but defensively, maybe not suited to that position. And we chopped and we changed. We never seem to have a settled back three. I think that's why John Souter's so important. If he can go to Rangers, get himself fit, play every week at a top level, a high level, I think he will make that right centre half position his own. If you've got Tierney in the left, a fully fit Kieran Tierney in the left, it leaves that middle position up for grabs, and I suppose whoever's performing best at their club will get that. But it has been an Achilles heel over this past 3 weeks.
Will it be a concern that going into the Armenia game, Souter again wasn't available? I think the talk coming out of Rangers was that he was sort of taking out the Scotland squad as a precaution, but these things with John Souter have cropped up his whole career, whether it's injuries or, you know, a very stop-start career he's had, just not really been able to put together a run of games. And I hope that this will be a fresh start for him, and going into a, you know, a different team, a different environment, he'll be hoping that he can get a lot more game time. But it's just a case of waiting and seeing really how he
it's out of his hands, Andrew. I really do sympathise with him, because he's got the injuries that he's had don't clear up easily, you know. And I think supporters have got to realise that it's not a quick fix. It's not a broken leg that when you heal it, that's it. I mean, John Souter's had these problems, and they will continue to be problems. I'm pretty certain of that. It's how the club manages it, how John Souter manages it, what games he plays, how he makes himself available for the big ones. But there's no doubt about it, he's an exceptional talent, and if he plays to the level I believe he can be, then I don't think we'll have any problems for a Scotland point of view in that right-hand centre-half.
Well, thank you to Craig. That's probably about all for calls tonight. Just running out of time, but a topic I wanted to touch on, Liverpool and Aberdeen. It looks as if they've agreed a fee for Calvin Ramsey. The 18-year-old looks set to move to the Premier League side for a fee of around £4 million, plus around £2.5 million in add-ons. And getting money for your young players is something that Scottish clubs have been desperate for. Do you think that's a really good deal that Aberdeen have done? Because it looks as if they've tried to hold out for as long as possible.
Well done to Aberdeen, first and foremost, for holding out and being brave, you know, not taking the first offer. And I think more of their clubs should be like that, because for too long we've sold our young players on the cheap, and they've went down to England and they've performed well for, you know, years and years, and then came back up the road at the tail end of their career. So Aberdeen And the young boy, you know, Calvin Ramsey, has got to take huge credit. Slightly, I mean, I must admit, I'm slightly surprised. He's played 33 games or something, and he wasn't really a regular in that Aberdeen side. You know, Stephen Glass left him out of teams. Jim Goodwin left him out of sides. So it's a big move for him. Delighted for the boy, because his wage will go up astronomically. And again, though, it's like Nathan Patterson. I just hope he gets enough game time when he goes there. Now, I don't believe he'll
Because obviously he's got Trent Alexander-Arnold in front of him. There's Nico Williams, who performed well at Fulham on loan. He could potentially go there, but it's not an easy area to get some game time.
It certainly isn't. But he'll be working under an outstanding team, whether that's the under-23s or whatever it is down there, and playing against top opponents. But I just hope he doesn't vanish from our sight. He's still young. He's still got a lot of improving to do. But if you're 18 moving for $4.5 million, Liverpool certainly do their homework in players, and they've seen something they really like in this boy. And fingers crossed, he's one for us for the future, who's challenging Nathan Patterson and Anthony Ralston.
Yeah, well, thank you for listening in tonight. Thank you for your calls and your tweets. I'll be back tomorrow night with Roger Hanna. And of course, at 9 o'clock tomorrow, the fixtures are out. And that's when the build up to next season really starts to ramp up. I'm looking forward to that. But stick around tonight, because Johnny Campbell is up next.